Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 22:36-37 and Philippians 4:8-9. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. It's
good to be with you. This morning, we're going to be thinking about the mind, and especially what does it mean to honor God by being good stewards of the mind that he has given us. And just to motivate our discussion, I want to share the results of an online survey where a blogger posed the following question. I think it's a great question. If I could help you with just one single thing in your life, what would that be? In other words, what area of your life would you like to be improved? What is it that you're struggling with that you would like to see change? And about 1,300 people responded to this survey. And what I find interesting about the results, we looked at the top 10, that the first answer, of course, had to do with money. You know, a lot of people struggle financially. But if you look at, apart from three of the top 10 responses, which deal with money, relationships, and career, seven of the areas where people want the most help with have to do with the mind. People said that what they would like help with is a change of an internal mindset. Basically, they would like to improve their self-esteem or their self-confidence. They would like to improve their ability to focus. They would like to find happiness, which is a mental state. They would like to have a more positive outlook and get rid of the negativity. And they would like to find that elusive inner peace. Who doesn't want inner peace? Now, these are all issues of the mind. The fact is that many of us, most of us, struggle with problems of the mind more than any other kind of problem. Now, I understand there are all kinds of problems, there's poverty and hunger, those are real problems. However, problems of the mind and suffering of the mind really impacts every single human being. So it's extremely important. Your life, your mind is basically the central processing unit. It directs all the shot. It tells you what you should do and where you should go. And there's a saying that where the mind goes, the man will follow. Where the mind goes, the man will follow. And your life is essentially going to go in the direction of your dominant thoughts. So, if you have positive, godly thoughts, your life is going to go in the direction of positivity and godliness. And the converse is also true. If you're filled with negative and ungodly thoughts, your life is going to go in that direction. So, extremely important. Now, the scriptures have a lot to say about the mind. And the passage that we just read today says that when Jesus was asked the question, what is the most important commandment? What he said was that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. In other words, that's the reason why we exist. That's why we were created, to love God with all of our being. But I want to focus on just this aspect of loving God with our mind. What does that mean? Well, God has given us this incredibly beautiful gift. We don't know for sure because we don't know what else is out there in the universe, but it's very likely that the human brain is the most complex thing in the entire universe, unless there are other beings with more interesting brains. So he's given us this incredible gift, and he calls us to be good stewards. So whatever else it might mean to love God with all of our minds, because there's a lot to it, and we can only unpack just one piece of it, whatever else it might mean, it means that we should invest serious time and energy to keep our minds healthy, pure, and sharp for the glory of God. Do you agree with that? That we should invest serious energy into this? This is the greatest gift that God has given us. I'm not talking about eternal life and all those other things, but in terms of our body, our brain, our mind, this is an amazing gift. So, if we're able to focus some energy in taking good care and being good stewards of our mind, it's going to give glory to God, And it's also going to solve a host of personal problems. I mean a host of personal problems. So let's see, what does it involve to take good care of our minds, to be good stewards of our minds? Well, the first thing is that this is not something that's going to happen without effort. You need to intentionally engage in certain habits to promote healthy, pure, and sharp minds. As a matter of fact, it's not just hard work. It's not just like putting a lot of effort. We have to recognize that we're in a battlefield. Our mind is a battlefield. The enemy of our soul wants nothing more than to bring you down. That's his mission. He came to kill and to destroy. And the way that the enemy attacks, he doesn't come and attack your elbow or your toe. No, he comes and attacks your mind. That's the point of entry. In the scriptures, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with evil supernatural powers. So this is serious business. So the first step is to recognize that this is very important, that we're in a battlefield, and unless we recognize, we're already on our way to defeat. So how do we begin this battle? There's no one passage of scripture that talks about all that we need to do to care for our minds. We will look at this morning at Philippians 4, 8, and 9, but that will serve as a launch pad, and we'll also briefly touch upon other passages of scriptures. So please turn to Philippians 4, 8, and 9, and it should be up on the PowerPoint as well. Now, Philippians 4, 8, and 9 essentially shows us what a beautiful mind actually looks like. This should be the end goal. This is something that we should strive for. A healthy mind is one that produces beautiful thoughts. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. Think on these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then there's this wonderful promise. And the God of peace will be with you. So this is a picture of a beautiful mind in action. A mind that produces these healthy thoughts. And this passage is actually very, very simple to understand. Paul is exhorting believers to think about things that are true, noble, praiseworthy, and so on. It's not hard to exegete this passage, so we're going to be spending most of our time on trying to see how we can apply this passage. Because what it means is fairly simple. And if I were to summarize it even more concisely, this passage is saying that we should train our minds to think about that which is true, that which is good, and that which is beautiful. The true, the good, and the beautiful. Very simple. That's all we need to know. The question is, how do we do that? Now try and do that. I challenge you to sit here and for the next X minutes, think about the true, the good, and the beautiful. You will see that after about 60 seconds, your mind is going to wander off somewhere into space. Your mind has a mind of its own. It tends to gravitate in all different places. So we really need to focus here. So I'm calling you, if you already lost focus, to please wake up and pay attention, because this is important. Why is it that we cannot focus on the true, the good, and the beautiful? What is it that prevents us? Well, the problem is that our mind is broken in various ways. To one degree or another, everybody's mind has some brokenness and dysfunctionality. Because of sin, because of illness, and also because of spiritual warfare, our minds are not often filled with thoughts that are true, good, and beautiful. Indeed, they're often filled with thoughts that are the opposite. The false, the bad, and the ugly. That sounds like a spaghetti western. The first step, really, in attaining this beautiful mind is to recognize that we have a problem. If you don't recognize this, if you think that your mind is safe, you're being deceived. We all struggle with the wrong kind of thoughts, and we need to recognize that, and we need to realize that we can do something about it. We're not just helpless victim because, you know, God has made us this way, he has wired us this way, so we can't change. No, that is not true. We could all change. And one day, our minds will be completely healed. And it's going to be a slow process, but we could all get there little by little. So the biggest lie that we have to tackle first is this lie that we can't change, that we have to accept that our mind and our thoughts are always going to be a mess. See, God has given us everything that we need to demolish strongholds, and to take every thought captive for Christ. So we don't have to have a defeatist attitude. So that's the first step. So what is exactly is the problem with our thinking? We often think the wrong kind of thoughts. And one way to describe it, you know, many people say, okay, we think lustful thoughts or envious thoughts or angry thoughts. And that's part of it. Yes, that's one way that the brokenness manifests itself. But it goes even deeper than that, and it's more subtle. There are some patterns of wrong thinking that affect our entire personalities. Here are some examples of what I mean by that, some problematic thought patterns. Now, the technical term for this is cognitive distortions. The less technical term is thinking. And I've actually seen this not only in the Christian literature, but also in the psychological literature. Stinking thinking, that's something that people struggle with. And if you can identify with some of these, and I'm not going to go into that much detail, but from time to time, we all deal with this cognitive distortions, false ideas. For example, one of them is black and white thinking. That's this kind of thinking that says it's all or nothing. Either we are perfect or we're an abject and total failure. There's no middle ground. It's all about extremes. This is also called perfectionism. Now think about how much fun the devil can have with a person who is struggling with this. Anytime you do anything that's less than perfect, the devil tells you you're a failure. You're a loser. You're worthless. And we believe that lie and we go on moping around with a defeatist attitude. Another example of thinking is jumping to conclusions. A person who jumps to conclusions is the person who can read your mind and your feelings. They always know where you're going, and they jump to conclusions, and usually it's the wrong conclusions. A silly example, you text someone, and they don't respond right away. So right away, your mind starts going, oh, I thought they were my friends. Oh, they don't care at all about me. Oh, they hate me. They haven't responded in 10 milliseconds. Chill out. Another example is filtering. Filtering is when a person engages in, takes the negative details and magnifies them at the expense of anything positive. So for instance, you could compliment the person 10 times, and then you might say one small criticism, perhaps in the right way, constructive criticism. They will forget about all the 10 compliments that you made, and will magnify that small criticism. Or a student gets 10 A's and they get a B minus. They're a failure. And one final one, personalization. Personalization is a distortion when a person believes that everything that happens around them is somehow directly related to them. They literally take everything personally, and they have a very thin and sensitive skin. And this creates a lot of relational fallout. And there's a lot of other cognitive distortions that we don't have time to go into. But do you recognize any of these in yourselves? Be honest. I mean, we all struggle with these. Stinking thinking. The question is, what can we do? And is there anything that we can do to change this kind of thinking? Can we fight these lies inside of our head? And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. And the theory of how to do that is actually easy to articulate, but difficult to implement. And just to give you a little bit of analogy, I come from a computer science background, electrical engineering, so I hope I won't lose you with any technical term, but this is very simple. A computer has hardware and software. If either the software or the hardware is a little faulty, it's going to produce wrong results. The brain is much more than a computer. There's a lot to it that is really mysterious and complex and amazing. But there is hardware and there is software. The hardware of the brain is the actual matter, the circuitry, the connections, and so on. That's the hardware. The software is what we put into the brain, the inputs, the programming. So we have to work at both angles, the hardware and the software. So first of all, the software. See, the thoughts that your mind produces is primarily related to what you feed your mind. That's the software. That's the programming. Let me say that again. The thoughts that your mind produces is related to how you feed your mind. In other words, in terms of a biblical principle, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you sow good things, good inputs, you're going to reap good thoughts and good outputs. However, if you sow junk, you're going to reap junk. So how you feed your mind is super critical. In computer science, there's this term called GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. The same thing with the brain. If you put garbage in your brain, you're going to get garbage out. So let's think about a healthy mental diet. Imagine mental food on a spectrum where on the left you have something that's toxic, that's outright sin. On the right you have something that's healthy and nutritional. But there's also a lot of stuff in between that's really, it's not toxic and it's not really nutritional either. I call that junk food for the brain. So we should examine our mental diet and we should eliminate completely the toxic mental food, and we should curtail and limit the junk food, and we should enhance and increase the consumption of good mental food, nutritious mental food. So what is toxic mental food? Well, that's food that's outright sin. It's lethal. One example is pornography. If the input to your mind is pornography, what do you think the output is going to be? Lustful thoughts, of course, which very likely will lead to lustful actions, because remember, where the mind goes, the man follows. And your life is going to go in the direction of your dominant thoughts. So if you're feeding your mind with that input, your life is going to go in that direction. Another example might be indulging in movies or media, which may not be absolutely pornographic, but it has so much violent and sexually explicit content that it's really borderline. And I know I'm treading on thin ice here because a lot of people don't see this. I mean, Christians have bought into the culture that everything is acceptable as long as I, you know, it's not going to affect me. But think about it. If you're putting in toxic stuff into your mind, don't you think it's going to affect you? Of course it will. Ultimately, it'll affect your actions. It'll also affect your feelings, your entire person. So the first thing you have to do is you have to be ruthless to eradicate the toxic stuff, the stuff that's outright sin. What about the stuff that's a little more gray, the junk food for the mind? This is where it gets a little more challenging. Now, it may be easy for you to see how we need to eliminate the toxic. Nobody here would drink poison, right? Probably. Any reasonable person would not drink poison. But the junk food, everybody eats potato chips and ice cream once in a while. The question, what do we do with that? Well, here, I think it's more about quantity and priority. See, if this type of junk food, mental junk food, is abused, it produces lots of junk thoughts. If it's moderated and curtailed, it may not be very harmful. A perfect example of what I'm referring to is this. Okay. We all know that many of us spend a lot of time watching very inane and silly YouTube videos and Facebook videos and TV programs and you name it. It all has to do with screens, little screens, medium-sized screens, big-sized screens. And there's nothing wrong with some of these things. I mean, a lot of them are very funny, and we all need some time to unwind and relax. You know, after I come home from a hard day's work, there's nothing wrong with watching something that relaxes me, and it could be junk food. It's not something necessarily that's going to lead me closer to Christ, but it's also not going to lead me away from Christ. It's sort of neutral. But the problem becomes when we start abusing, where the only thing you can think of to do on your free time is to go to these inane YouTube videos and to go to your TV screen, and it crowds out the healthy stuff. Once it starts crowding out the healthy stuff, then you really have to evaluate that you have a problem. Have you heard anyone say, oh, you know, I'm too busy to spend time with God to do my quiet time? And yet you know they're spending 3 hours in front of a screen. Come on, let's be honest. Are you really too busy, or you've made certain choices? It works that way with physical food too, right? If you saw someone who said, you know, they eat potato chips and ice cream, nothing wrong with that. But what if they told you that they ate 10 bags of potato chips instead of a nutritious meal? Or they ate a gallon of ice cream for breakfast instead of a healthy meal? Then you would think that, yeah, something not quite right with that. It's the same thing with these things. If it crowds out the nutritious food, you have to curtail it, you have to moderate it. So we need to evaluate what we're feeding our brain. So if you want a homework assignment, Make an inventory of the time that you spend on stuff that goes into your brain, the things that you read, the things that you listen to, the things that you watch. How much of that is toxic? If it's toxic, eliminate it. How much of that is junk? Curtail it, moderate it. And how much of that is nutritional? That's what you want to enhance. Now, once you eliminate the toxics and curtail the junk, you're going to find that you have a lot of time on your hands. More time than you actually thought possible. What are you going to do with all this free time? You have to increase the consumption of nutritious mental food. And there's so many things you can do here that I will only give you a very quick list. First thing, you can read more. And you can read the Bible, and we'll talk a little bit about that next. But there are other books, classic books. You can read a book on nuclear physics for lay people. I mean, there are all kinds of things that you can do. You can listen to a smart podcast to actually improve and increase your brain cells. You can take a course. Maybe when you were a teenager, you got rejected by MIT and Harvard. You could actually take a free course online at MIT and Harvard, no charge. Or you could take a seminary course for free online. You can listen to uplifting music. You can take up an interesting hobby. You can take up some sporting activity. The list is endless. You know what it is. I don't have to tell you. There's so many good inputs that we could have for our minds. And some of us say, well, you know, all of those things are boring. But it's not all about just being entertained 100% of our day. It's more than that. But you will find that once you start getting into some of this healthy, nutritional, mental food, you're going to start enjoying it as well. Now, I would be remiss here not to mention one more thing. It's hard to have a healthy mind if you also do not have and maintain a healthy body, because everything is interconnected. We're one being. So try to stay physically healthy, exercise, play sports, eat well, and very importantly, get rest, get enough rest. Now, all these things will go a long way towards producing thoughts that are true, good, and beautiful. This is the software aspect of it, the software aspect. But now we have to talk a little bit about the hardware. Some of us are wired in a certain way where it's more difficult for us to be able to think thoughts that are true, good, and beautiful. Now, there are many, this is complicated. I don't pretend to be a neurologist or a psychologist. But on a physical level, we could have bad thought patterns ingrained in us that could be due to the way they were wired or because of some rough psychological experience that we've had in the past, or there could be physiological drivers for our thoughts, and it gets very, very complicated.